would not show herself if she knew she was expected.
Even if there was such a weapon, it wouldn't be right to use it. The Jedi won't permit speciesside against the Chiss any more than we would against the Killix.
But you could, if it was self-defense.
Raynar bared his jagged teeth in a try at a grin.
Destroying the Chiss would be self-defense, so you would have to permit it.
If it were self-defense, we might have to permit it,
Luke said.
But even that wouldn't save the colony. It cannot survive as it is. We know that.
How do we know that? We know no such thing.
We might,
Luke insisted.
If the colony grew too large, it would devour its own worlds and destroy itself.
There are always more worlds.
Not always, Luke said. Sometimes all of the other worlds are taken. That could have been what happened when the Killix disappeared from Alderaan.
Luke paused.
In fact, I'm sure that's what happened on Alderaan. The Killix devoured their own world and tried to take someone else's. That's the reason the Celestials drove the Killix into the unknown regions.
The fight finally went out of Raynar.
You're sure?
He folded his cauterized forearm stump across his stomach and cradled it with his other arm, his lips quivering in pain and tears welling in his eyes.
You know.
The question was drowned out by the roar of a blaster cannon, and Luke glanced down the corridor to see the bug cruncher stationed there suddenly powering down. The droid fell out of the opening backward and crashed to the deck. Then Lomi Plo scuttled through the hatchway on her mismatched set of legs, one human, the other insectile. She turned her bulbous eyes and noseless face down the corridor, then extended her crooked upper arms toward the lightsaber in Luke's hands. The last remaining bug cruncher opened fire, forcing Lomi Plo to ignite the lightsaber in her lower set of hands. Her blocks and parries came so slowly that she was barely able to deflect the cannon bolts, and she was forced to swing her upper arms toward the droid and drain its power. Raynar, thankfully, continued to stand dazed and seemingly impotent. Determined to reach Lomi Plo before she drained his lightsaber's power cell, Luke sprang down the corridor and leapt off the carnage heap to attack. Lomi blocked his first pass with her white lightsaber. Then, in place of the purple lightsaber she'd left in Jason at the end of their last meeting, she ignited a familiar-looking green blade, the lightsaber Raynar had confiscated on Wotabah. Luke's lightsaber.
Now you're just ticking me off, Luke said.
Lomi clacked her mandibles and hissed, then launched a deadly low-high-low combination with her flashing blades. Luke parried, ducked, and jumped, then brought an elbow up under her mandibles and sent her staggering back, all four arms flailing as she struggled to catch her balance on her mismatched legs. Luke whipped his blade around, cocking it for a death slash across her middle, then had a prickle of danger sense between his shoulder blades and tried to spin away. He almost made it. Something heavy and huge slammed into his shoulder. A shattergun pellet? And sent him tumbling across the floor past Lomi Plo's feet. He tried a reactionary slash as he rolled by, only to discover that he was no longer holding his lightsaber, and he could not move his prosthetic hand, nor the rest of his arm. Lomi Plo's two blades began to chop the floor behind him, so he used the force to accelerate himself and continue to roll, then came to his feet 2 meters on the other side of her and called his lightsaber back to his good hand. The weapon arrived just ahead of Lomi Plo, and suddenly Luke found himself on the defensive, being driven into a corner, while Raynar Thule, not so impotent after all, used his other hand to fire more shattergun pellets. Luke dropped to his side and caught Lomi Plo's human leg in a scissoring motion between his feet. The knee bent backward and popped with a sickening crunch. She fell, squealing in pain and clacking her mandibles, and redoubled her attacks, slashing so ferociously with her twin blades that Luke's lone hand barely had the strength to block. still dodging shattergun pellets, rolling back and forth on the floor and parrying madly. Luke glanced up the corridor and used the force to reach into the carnage heap beneath Raynar's feet. He grabbed the largest, heaviest thing he could find, a disabled bug cruncher droid, and jerked it free. The pile shifted, and Raynar crashed down on his back, but Luke barely noticed. He was pulling the droid down the corridor, straight at Lomi Plo. She deflected it easily, of course, but she had to spin away from Luke and wave a hand. And that gave him the chance he needed to force spring up the corridor toward Raynar, who was just returning to his feet.
"As I was saying," Luke said, pointing his lightsaber down at Raynar's chest, "you never learn."
Raynar's eyes flashed with alarm and he rolled away, presenting the side of his head for a perfect knockout blow. Luke brought his lightsaber down, but deactivated the blade and flipped it around at the last second to strike at the base of the ear. The blow landed with a sharp crack that suggested a breaking skull, but Luke had no time to worry about Raynar. Lomi Plo was dragging herself out the hatchway, trying to escape into the general confusion of the Akbar's recapture. He sprang after her, using the force to drag her back into the corridor. Lomi Plo whirled around, her lightsabers rising into a guard position, but not attacking. Trapped on the floor with a broken knee, she knew as well as Luke did that she could not defend herself, that he could kill her anytime he wished. Lomi Plo grabbed hold of the sides of the hatchway with two of her hands, then pulled herself up on her insect leg and cocked her head, so that only one of her bulbous eyes was turned toward Luke. Lomi Plo came flying at him with both blades flashing, striking high and low from opposite sides in a desperate attempt to finish him off. Luke simply stepped inside her attack and flicked his wrist twice. First, sweeping his blade upward, then whipping it around in a backslash, and she landed at his feet in four parts. Luke stood, looking down at the pieces for a moment, half expecting them to turn to smoke and vanish, or to dissolve like a bad holonet signal. It was hard to believe that a woman of mere flesh and blood and chitin had caused so much trouble, had brought the galaxy to the edge of eternal war. But of course, beings of flesh and blood were always starting wars. That's why the galaxy needed her Jedi. Luke reached down and retrieved the two lightsabers Lomi Plo had been wielding. He tucked the white one inside his flight utilities and hung the green one in its proper place on his belt, then returned to the side of his former student. Raynar was still unconscious, but his vital signs were stable, and he didn't seem to be in any great danger. Luke broke out a medkit and started to work. "Let's get you patched up, son," he said. "We're going home."
This is Jonathan Davis. We hope you have enjoyed this production of Star Wars Dark Nest 3, The Swarm War by Troy Denning. This program was produced, directed, and abridged by Kevin Thompson. Executive producer, Jacob Bronstein. Star Wars Dark Nest 3, The Swarm War is a production of Lucasfilm Limited, copyright 2006. All rights reserved. Used under authorization. Music composed by John Williams. Music publishing by Warner Tamerlane Publishing Corporation and Bantha Music. Music Master Production, copyright 2006, Lucasfilm Limited. This has been a Random House audio presentation. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.